response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
All right, we're back at it on a Friday morning here, 96.5, the Fan, Fesco, and Dusty with you on a glorious, glorious Friday. First U.S. soccer game of the tournament takes place today. You can go hang out with Rob and Carrington. They're going to be at the Peanut watching this one with everybody else. So go join them today. Where are they? Which Peanut are they going to be at today? Northland?
Yep.
Starting at 2 o'clock. And it's all brought to you by Security Bank of Kansas City, boldly local since 1933, and truly the official seltzer of U.S. soccer. So show up at the Peanut in the Northland today, beginning at 2. Prizes and all kinds of good stuff to give away.
Somebody's hall pass came in a little bit late. Says my hall pass would be Mayor McCheese.
That's a good one. Mayor McCheese. I love it.
What is
fantastic.
That
fantastic. McDonald's.
Oh. I thought it like somebody called a guy Mayor McCheese. I don't know the reference. But let's get to Mark Turgeon here on 96.5.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Fan. Mark, how have you been enjoying these NBA finals?
Yeah, they've been fantastic. I felt bad for the Spurs the other night. Thought they should have won the game, and you could feel it coming on the whole time. I think it would have been great for the NBA to have it 2-2 going back to San Francisco or San Antonio. But give the Knicks credit. Jalen Brunson's something else. OG was great. So it's just great for basketball. You want exciting games, and of course everybody's into it because the Knicks are in it, and you know, this Wemby guy is special and fun to watch. So it's been great. And we got to keep up with the hockey because the hockey's been a great series too. So you love when the basketball's doing great and people are talking about it.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And you mentioned the Knicks being in it. It does add to it. It matters that the Knicks are in it. It's completely different than everything else.
Yeah, you look at the ratings for TV and it's been 20 years or whatever it's been, or 15 years since they've had ratings like this. So yeah. And then, you know, all the celebrities getting involved and just the whole city and all the watch parties and everything. Now they've lost their mind a little bit, the way they act, but, you know, it has been good that New York's in it. And I think it's brought more attention to it. And, you know, not only in the States, but worldwide, it's been good because, it's an international game, and to have a series like this and have the Knicks in it, it's been great.
Mark Turgeon, UMKC head coach, with us talking a little NBA. We'll get into some UMKC stuff because I know you guys are back at it already. There's no off time for you or anything like that at the college level. But if you're coaching the San Antonio Spurs, what do you say after blowing a 29-point lead to get them back to play this thing again? Because this is Denkinger all over again, man. The blown call, and then game 7 happens. Royals win 11-0. This has got kind of that feel to it, I think.
Yeah, you know, don't know. They got a young team, and so young kids wake up the next day and they're like, "What's for breakfast?" You know, they're not really worried about what happened the night before. So they bounce back all year. I expect them to bounce back. Their arena will be full. They'll be back in their team. We'll see when it gets tough. You know, when it gets tough, we'll see how they respond during the game. But they should have won both games. They really should have won game 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so they know they can win games. They know they can win the next 3. Now, whether when it gets tough, if they're tough enough to fight through it and do it, but they got to play a little bit smarter when the game's on the line. And that'll be the key, but it's tough. Yeah. I don't know what I would say. I know what I would have tried to say during blowing the 29-point lead. I don't know if I'd have been able to stop it, but I know what I've been trying to say to the team, and it's just unfortunate. But the Knicks did it to Cleveland. That building gets pretty loud, and Jalen Brunson just does what he does, makes incredible shots when he has to make them.
What would you have been saying during that, you know, that lead getting blown?
Well, the Larry Brown in me would have been like, hey, guys, you know, we're not trying to make this close. We got to keep playing. They started walking it up and doing things and got a little cautious. And, you know, there's a point where you got to be cautious. You're up 12 with two to go, but you're always trying to win. You know, you're up 10, you're trying to win by 16. You're up 16, you're trying to win by 20. If you have that approach, then you keep attacking. And they have young kids. It's easy for me to say. I'm watching it on my couch in Kansas City. But that's always my approach when we have a lead and it doesn't always work, but you've got to have a mindset that this doesn't need to be close. We're still trying to attack and whether the guys do it and whether you make shots or not, you know, there were a couple quick shots that they missed that they made in the first half. So, but in the end, they didn't guard anybody.
No.
And defensively, they just have to be better than they were. They tried to zone late, and that didn't work. Tried to keep Wimby by the rim, but sometimes you just can't stop it, and it's not meant to be. But they'll learn from it. They're a young team. He's a great coach, and they'll get better because of it.
This is Mark Turgeon, the head coach of the UMKC Ruse basketball team. Mark, the hell with New York, the hell with San Antonio. Let's talk Kansas City. What's going on with the boys on the hardwood for your program that you're heading up over there?
Well, we got started this week. We got 12 of the 14 that we signed in.
Nice.
10 are practicing. It was a great week. Like my team. We're a little bit younger than I would like to be in today's world. You know, everybody's like, you got to get older with the portal. But for me to afford a team, I had to sign a lot of young kids. But I signed some really talented young players, and they've been great. I think 8 of the 10 guys that are really practicing for me, it's their first time in college practice, and they're doing a great job. So we have 8 young guys. We have 6 veterans. It's going to be a good mix. We're off to a good start. Very coachable, talented, skilled, smart basketball players. So it's a big summer for us on the court, in the weight room, team bonding, all that kind of stuff. We're all new. The whole staff's new. All the players are new. So it's a big 8 weeks for us to really grow our program and get better.
Did you ever think you'd be uttering the phrases, to afford a team, I had to go younger? I mean, my God, where it's changed, right?
Yeah, it's funny. And I knew getting back into it, this is what it was going to be like. And so I embraced it. I love the challenge of it. Now, high school kids are way under-recruited. And so I was able to get some really good players. And now it's up to me to figure out how to keep them. And I'm not going to keep them all. We're going to make them better. But it's a different world. But we made a commitment here at UMKC and the city jumped on board. We got a lot of great stuff going. Like, we're redoing the offices here at Sweeney. We're doing the locker room. There's a meeting room for us in women's basketball that's going to get done. The city donated money at municipal for us for offices and meeting rooms. So there's a lot of great things going on. We've raised money to help with NIL. People are on board. So it's fun. I didn't just come here to win games and hopefully figure out a way to win 3 games to get to the NCAA tournament, but I want to build a sustainable program. One that's not just good in the Summit League, but it's good nationally. So we're just getting started. But I have unbelievable vision and goals and dreams for this place. And just because I'm a little bit older, I got to do it quickly. But it's off to a great start. Dr. Martin, Chancellor Agarwal, they've been great. Leadership's been great. So we're on our way. We're not going to win 30 games next year. But we're going to be competitive. We're going to be fun to watch. And, you know, I need Kansas City to come out and buy season tickets when they go on sale. We need a great fan base down at Municipal, and all that stuff helps you build your program.
Heck yeah, man. Well, we appreciate you coming on and spreading the word and getting the word out about the UMKC program. We're excited to watch those guys play this year. And we appreciate you coming on, Mark. Have a good day and enjoy your weekend.
All right. You too, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Such a nice spoken, like, voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet it's different when the game starts.
I would imagine. Yeah, absolutely. But think about that. Afford a team. In order to afford a team, I had to go with younger players. And, you know, that's probably going to be the new route for high school players, I would imagine. You're not going to get into the schools, it appears, like a KU or a Duke or anything like that, because they're more invested into the portal and getting some of the older players. And that does open doors for a program like UMKC to probably get better freshmen than they ever had before, because a lot of these bigger time programs just aren't recruiting those guys because they don't find it worth it to recruit freshmen.
Sports Hills You Will Die On and Mac and LeBron James agree on the same opinion here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty.
Brett Veach has the most underrated chest I've ever seen.
On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
All right, Sports Hills that you're willing to die on. You probably got one out there. I don't know why this keeps moving, brother. There you go.
I don't either.
It's all right. Internet's up. We're living. Everybody's got one. Texas Tech currently has one. This is their president talking about their issue going on.
Yeah, I think right now so many people are pointing the finger of like, well, he's going to play. He can play is what the judge said. What we're trying to do is get him into a healthy space to where he feels great about what he's doing and he can deal with this addiction in a healthy way. And that's day by day.
So they're just going to keep doing this.
Get bent.
And this is their hill that they're dying on, that they're doing, quote, everything they can to, quote, help said athlete Brendan Sorsby. I don't think that's what they're doing. I think they're just trying to protect their face. They're trying to save face here. And it's not one that I think I would ever be willing to do on that hill, because what he needs is to get away from the game of football. He needs to get right with himself. And what they're doing is just, I don't know, it's just not professional. I don't enjoy it, because if that kid has a serious problem that they are talking about, then what they need to do is get him away from football and not have him, you know, around the facility and around these other guys, because that's just going to get him more and more, that itch to maybe go back to that or relapse towards sports gambling. Everybody has their addictions. I'm sure we've all been there. I've known people that have had them, and, you know, for instance, when we've had, you know, buddies that have had drinking problems and we all want to hang out, it's like, hey, come on over. But if you don't mind, maybe leave the booze at the house. You don't need to be drinking around this, you know, said person. Well, there's NA products. I get that. I understand that. But let's just respect what's going on and, you know, get it out of sight, out of mind. Go to lunch, have a water or a tea or a Sprite, something like that. It's not, well, we're going to take him to a bar and just really, you know, try to see if he really is over it. Like, that's not the professional way to do it. And Texas Tech is not doing that at all with this Sorsby kid, at least in my opinion.
Yep. No, I mean, he just shouldn't play. I mean, it's pretty simple, right?
Yeah, I mean, you did something wrong. You have to figure out why you kept doing said wrong problem. And then now you have to figure out how to get away from problem. And by what they're doing, that's not helping the process. So to kind of shift gears, do you guys have a sports hill that you're still willing to die on?
I don't. I don't know that I've ever had one, really.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Never?
I don't think so. I was trying to think. I thought a lot about this, and I couldn't come up with one where I'm ready to die on a hill for anything. I don't know. I mean, it took – you sent this, what, yesterday at about noontime, roughly?
Yeah.
And here we are at 8 a.m. the next day, and I'm still going, I don't know that I have – that hill that I'm willing to die on. The text line may know of a hill that I'm willing to die on, but from my standpoint, I'm like, I don't know that I've ever really had one of those.
Andy Reid goat? Would you die on that hill?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, that's a good one.
Okay, is that considered
one?
That's
one for you.
Okay, all right.
It took 2 seconds.
Yeah, Brett Veach hill?
Yeah, I'll die on that.
You'll die on a Brett Veach hill?
I guess, yeah. Okay, I guess when you put it like that way. I was thinking like maybe bigger perspective.
No, I don't
know what I was thinking of, but I kept like going round and round. I'm like, I don't know what hill I'm willing to die on that's really a bad. Like, I look, Andy Reid, GOAT. There's a lot of people that would die on that hill, right?
It's not the same.
Right. So I guess I was thinking more the long of the lines of, like, yeah, a hot take of something of some hill that I'm willing to die on that, you know, nobody else agrees with or something like that. That's kind of where I took that, because that's essentially what Texas Tech is doing right now.
Great text from 660, and you would agree with this as well, Bob. It would be a hill that you'd be on dying with this guy. Feel of the game over analytics.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's another good one. But again, I think that's the majority of sports fans are feel of the game. The only people who are analytics are the dorks and nerds that are employed by teams.
913, Bob just wants guys to perform like they care.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I'm willing to die on that hill. Perform like you care.
He will die on Brett Veach having a great chest.
Yep.
A great chest hill. My mistake, 816. You're right.
Yeah, that is true. Right, yeah, Brett Veach does have a great chest.
Dusty, any hills you die on in sports world?
Yeah, I made one this week. Mahomes will retire chief.
There we go. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he comes back and signs the one-day contract and throws a pass to the new future wide receiver.
That's a cop-out.
That's not – I mean, he never leaves.
Yeah.
And the other hill that I will die on and I will continue to die on, and how do you like me now, Toby Keith said one time, listen through your radio – Jack Caglione will be a superstar for the Kansas City Royals.
That's your hill. Yes.
Suck it, haters.
Okay? And it's happening. It's happening right now.
Before our eyes. Do you want me to go? You want some stats? Yeah. These are his last five games. 2 hits and 4 at-bats. 4 hits and 5 at-bats. 3 hits and 3 at-bats. No hits and 1 at-bat. 2 hits and 3 at-bats. Hello. I know that I'm hard.
Hello, America.
Hello. Best batting average on the team. Best slug on the team. Best OBS on the team.
That's not Bobby Witt Jr. you're talking about.
No, I'm talking
about
Jack
talking about a guy
Caglione.
That they told us at the beginning of the year was a part-time player.
And he's, 22?
23.
Yeah, 23, yeah.
6'5", 250,
yes.
Size 17 foot. Dusty, how's your kegs guy doing? Where you at? Where you at now? I'm here. Waiting for you. Waiting with a .279 batting average with 19 RBI. 8 home runs, .351 OBP, .457 slug, .807 OPS. Get this mother Frito in the home run derby. Put him on the stage.
816, you might die on this. Free mattress to Good Home, .435 in View High.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nicely done.
816, hot take rolls are trash. It's not a hill that you die on, nor is it that hot of a take. Get some more hills. I would die on Sophie Cunningham's hill.
Hills.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure, she's a babe. You know, she's the one that threw the pass to Caitlin Clark when she hit the three.
There you go.
Somebody says, Bob, you would die on the hill with warm butter at a wedding.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yes, absolutely. But more and more people are coming around and understanding that serving people cold butter is a scam.
My hill, Tony won us that Super Bowl.
It's okay. I'm not going to.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I
mean, he was great in that Super Bowl.
Didn't they already have a lead?
The punt return was when they...
Did they have a lead? That just kind of like sealed the game. Am I wrong on that?
Well, I think no, so. I think they only won by three in that game, right?
They definitely didn't seal anything. Yeah, that game wasn't sealed until the flag at the end of the game.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I would say Andy won us that game, but it's a good hill to die on.
Yeah. But that's what I was looking for. Something like that, where Kadarius Toney is the reason we won that Super Bowl. Like, that's a hill, right?
Mine was Sam Darnold for 3 years.
That's
or so.
A good one for you because you did. You stood up for that guy for no apparent reason, and now he's the Super Bowl quarterback.
I've got many, many text threads from all of my friends and my fantasy football leagues clowning me from years ago, and many tweets of me standing on the hill. So that turned out to be solid. My hill now would be that I've stood on for the past year or so with you guys is that Mahomes' production has not dropped the way that a lot of people nationally and in Kansas City may think it has. That would be my other hill.
Right.
That he's still playing at an elite level.
Here's one from the 913. Tony Gonzalez was a better tight end than Travis Kelce.
Woo! Love it. Love it.
I mean, rings.
That's a great conversation
to
have.
Great conversation, man. It's a great hill.
I mean, I love that topic.
Statistic-wise... Tony Gonzalez probably leads. I mean, what, catches, yards, touchdowns?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know about touchdowns, but I know he's got a lot of impressive stats that Travis will never catch.
Mm-hmm.
But Travis got the rings.
Travis has got the rings, and he's got Taylor Swift, and he's got the career, and he's got, like, life after football. Not that Tony doesn't, but Let's see how we could talk about this.
I can die on this hill. Travis Kelce would be better on TV than Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, that's, I mean, obvious. Travis has got it all. Tony had it all, too.
Yes, he did.
Travis has the rings. Tony doesn't. Tony played where he was the only weapon for the most part in the passing game. Obviously, Priest Holmes was there, and Eddie Kinnison was there, but it wasn't like it is now. If you want to die on the hill that Tony Gonzalez is a better tight end than Travis Kelce, I'm here to have that conversation. Yeah, I love that conversation. And that's no knock against Travis at all. That just shows you how great both of these players are. And I think you'd have a conversation round and round and round about this. And I don't know that we'd ever have the right answer of who the better tight end is. But I like that hill.
Travis Kelce, 1,080 receptions, 13,002 yards.
Yep.
Tony Gonzalez, 1,325 receptions, 15,127 yards.
And 78 more games.
Yeah. Tony Gonzalez had 11.4 yards per reception. Travis Kelce has 11.2 or 12.
Whoa. So 78 more games, he has 2,000 more yards receiving than Travis Kelce?
Yes.
Yeah, conversation over. Travis is the better one. 78 games? You know how many years that is?
Yeah, so you can't use that. Well, he was the only weapon. Yeah, statistically, Kelce is
now, even now that you said the 78 weapons, games, it changes everything. Changes everything. Travis is the number one tight end.
And if you look at playoff stats, and I know, yeah, well, you're going to get the playoffs. Well, yeah, but you also have to become, when you're talking about greats, you level up. Travis Kelce is, forget tight ends, he's one of maybe the best playoff weapon in NFL history. He's next to Jerry Rice in every stat.
And
Jerry Rice.
And he wasn't for a while. The first part of his career, he was not good in the playoffs because I was crushing him. Dropping passes, not playing good, missing the half, like all that kind of stuff that went on in the postseason. It's like, if you're going to be a big-time player, you got to play when the moments are big. Okay, Bob, hold my beer. I'm going to go out there and show you now what I can do in the playoffs. And now, as you said, he's next to Jerry Rice in every single category. And then you mentioned the 78 games. I mean, that's an eternity in the NFL. That's like 5 years in the NFL. Yeah. So to say that he's only 2,000 yards behind in 78 less games, that shows you how damn good Travis Kelce is.
Travis Kelce's played 13 years. Tony Gonzalez played 17. Tony Gonzalez had 4 years where he had 1,000 or more yards. He did that four different times. Only once did he do it back to back. Travis Kelce did it 8 straight times.
Yeah, which I think he is the only, or he was tied. It's one of the, he's up there.
Yeah. You know,
only a few guys have ever done that ever.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Evans, a couple of guys.
I like that hill at the beginning of this conversation, and now that we've been educated, I hate that hill for you, man. Because, I mean, I on the surface area, good conversation, and then Mac throws in a couple of numbers like that. You're like, maybe it is Travis Kelce.
If I was that Tony G. Hill Dyer, I think my biggest argument would be the position changed way too much, and you got more usage because Tony G was the one who changed the position, and he opened the door for guys like Gronk and Kelce to have that sort of statistical production. But yeah, no, it's Kelce. More hills to die on. Golf's a sport. Come on,
let's go.
It is.
That's a hill to die on.
I mean, it's just a fact. Josh Allen will never get a Super Bowl.
What's a hill?
Yep.
I'm kind of with him on that. I don't think it's ever going to happen for Josh Allen. I really don't.
Will it ever happen for the Bills?
No.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen with Jim Kelly and Josh Allen, it's not going to happen with anybody.
I bet a hill you'd die on, Mac, is this one.
Oh, yeah?
John Elway's the most overrated quarterback of all time.
Love that. Is that in the text line?
No, but that's something I just brought that up.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. That's absolutely one of my biggest hills. Yes.
Or overrated. I guess the other one would be like he wasn't even the best quarterback of his era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was never the best player even when he was playing.
No, he wasn't. No,
forget
no,
being a top 10 quarterback of
Joe
all time.
Montana was much better than John Elway.
Yep.
Yeah, nobody would, like, I remember growing up, there were never conversations about Elway. It was always about Joe Montana.
I think one of the hills that I die on in college basketball is that Roy Williams doesn't deserve his first title at North Carolina.
Woo!
Those weren't his kids.
Doesn't deserve is interesting.
It's Matt Doherty's roster.
Yeah.
He just came in and coached him. It's like when John Gruden went to Tampa. That was
but Roy
Dungy's
followed
team.
It up with many championships after that, too. So
I didn't. That wasn't the take.
No, I understand that. But it's like he won others. I mean, this happens all the time, though, in sports. And like, you know, what's his name at Illinois should not get credit for going to the national championship game because those are Bill Self's players, you know?
Yeah, again, the take wasn't that, though. The take is the first title that he won in North Carolina is that he doesn't deserve that one. He doesn't deserve the total credit for that. That was Matt Doherty's roster.
Yeah.
And they were just that, you know how Carolina is, man. We just saw it this year with who they got rid of. So, there's a lot of them out there. Because, I mean, that's what's crazy is, like, not only did John Elway take, or John Elway, not only did John Gruden take over Tony Dungy's team, he then got to play his team that he just had left and then knew everything. Maybe that's a on-the-hill die. John Gruden might be the most overrated head football coach of all time.
Oh, I hate that, but yeah.
No, I mean, what did he do other than that Super Bowl?
Yeah, yep.
And it was a roster that he was gifted. Now, again, he's got to coach him. I totally get that. But let's not forget, like, he didn't build that roster. Now, he got Brad Johnson to somehow carry that team to with that defense. That defense was electric. And one of the, probably, in my opinion, my favorite defense in the NFL of all time. And literally, like, an all-pro at every position on the field. John Lynch, Rondé Barber, Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice. I mean, just loaded. Derek Brooks. Mm-hmm. I mean, just insane talent on that roster. But that's what sports are about. You know, you get to have these debates, and then you get to, you know, go back and forth with them. Hopefully they don't lead to, like, an argument.
Yes. MJ's the GOAT. I'll die on that from the 660.
Well, that's fair. That's funny you say that, because LeBron says he's the GOAT.
He does.
And he should say he's the GOAT. Everybody should say they're the GOAT when you're one of the greatest players of all time. I would have been disappointed if LeBron didn't say that. You've got to support yourself. You've got to get out there and champion you for the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and he's one of the few who, like, actually has that case. Yeah, as an athlete, you should think you're the best. That's going to help you perform the way you want to. But also, like, he actually is one of the only guys who are, it's like, yeah, you could put together a pretty good case that he is.
So, you could, yeah. And he named a couple of others, too, that he thought could be considered the greatest of all time. And I don't really think he missed on anybody. He talked about Bird and MJ and Magic and, you know, himself, obviously. I mean, you know, Kareem.
Yep.
You know,
Shaq,
Will is in that category. I would imagine maybe Oscar Robertson you throw in there as well. The logo, Jerry West. But, I mean, there's not a lot of players in any sport where you could put in that category of the greatest of all time. And LeBron's in that category, and he should say he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and these quotes come from Time Magazine. He says, I'm not taking nobody over me. There's no question. But I think Mike will say the same thing, James said. Rest his soul, Kobe will say the same thing. Magic will say the same thing. Bird will say the same thing. Shaq could say the same thing. The late, great Wilt, Kareem. I don't think none of us are going to take somebody else. So,
yep.
Depending on how you take the quote, like, I'm the GOAT. Okay. And then you go back and, you know, like, and you could do the same thing in baseball. Like, I bet Babe Ruth, if he was still alive today, be like, oh, I'm better than Ohtani. I'd take myself over that guy. You know, Ted Williams might say he's the best hitter. Tony Gwynn would say he's the best hitter. You know, all these guys would say that. So, I don't know. It's like you, Mac. I really hate the conversation because you could debunk LeBron and Michael Jordan in so many different ways.
Yeah, there's no right answer.
Like, who scored the most points in the NBA's history?
Yeah, LeBron.
Okay, who's got the most rings in, or I guess not most rings, but who's won two three-peats in the finals?
Yep.
Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, two different times he won three-peats. And, like, when we talk about the greatness stats, right, we were talking about this the other day with, like, Ohtani and, you know, Mahomes and how the stats, when you know you're a great, is when the stats make you sit back and go, what the F? Like,
yeah.
Like, I've said it 100 times, but it's like when Mahomes' career had started, you're like, what's the earliest X he's had in the playoffs? Overtime in the AFC championship game. Ohtani strikes out the side, hits the home runs in the World Series. Like, and then you think of, like, Michael Jordan. Yeah, he won six championships, and how he did that is he won two different three-peats.
Yep.
In, like, 8 years. And he played baseball because he got caught gambling. They didn't want to ruin the sport.
Yeah.
How about this for a hill?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to bring this up.
How about this hill? And maybe you'll disagree with me, Bob, and that's okay. Michael Jordan is the luckiest athlete of all time.
How so?
Again, not a lot of it is his fault. Sometimes luck is not your fault, right? Sometimes in golf, you hit a tree, and it goes right into the fairway, and your buddy hits the same shot, and he can't find his ball. That's luck, not my fault. Just happened. Michael Jordan, for me, is the luckiest athlete because of the time that he was an athlete. There were no cell phones. There was no media really to capture what he was doing. If there was, I'm sure we'd have a lot of different storylines about Michael Jordan. Two, he didn't get suspended from basketball because he was such a big face and polarizing athlete that they couldn't put that on his career. So he decided to go play baseball for the White Sox. Coincidence? I think not. And instead of suspending Michael Jordan and putting a lash on his career where he comes back in a scarlet letter and said it was the number 45, he got to get away with it. That to me is lucky. Stern was like, hey, man, I can't destroy my sport right now. It was booming with Michael Jordan at that time in 1996 or 1995. And you couldn't do that. That's luck. That doesn't happen today. The phones, the cameras, that doesn't happen today. And the other thing is that he gets lucky because he did have a big three. He had an amazing sporting cast in that second run of the three-peat. He had Rodman and he had Pippen. And people would crush the Celtics when they had Pierce, Allen, and Garnett. People crushed the Heat when they had Wade, Bosch, and LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Wade, Bosch, and LeBron is very similar to Pippen, Jordan, and Rodman. Like, Bosch was a scorer, don't get me wrong. Rodman didn't score. Rodman would have some insane stats where he'd have 0 points and 23 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that he has been blessed with the timing of his career that can make him one of the luckiest, if not the luckiest athlete of all time.
Yeah, I think calling him lucky takes away from his genius and how good he was on the court. And calling him lucky, I mean, you know, it's
but none of what I said was really on the court other than like, actually, none of what I said is on the court.
Yeah, but I also think when you look at Michael Jordan, you could say any athlete before social media is lucky. And Derek Jeter, let's call it what it is right now. Guy was signing NDAs as people were coming into his house and you were getting a gift basket as you were leaving and you had to leave your cell phone at the door. And so all these, like, back in the day, baseball players and teams that would ride the train with the media, you know, and all that kind of stuff, they were probably lucky because who knew what was going on those trains. And I think a lot of it has to do with the product of the era in which you play. And, you know, to defend the NBA a little bit, if that's what they did was send Jordan away for 2 years to play baseball because of the gambling stuff, well, that's what you want to do. You could have ruined your league at that point in time if you found out that there was some kind of gambling connection to the NBA because it wasn't accepted back then like it is now. Even now, you find a gambling connection unless you're Texas Tech. You know, you're suspending people and you're holding people accountable for all that kind of stuff. Gambling is one of those biggest, you know, snafus. But I really believe back then with the NBA where it was and the peak that it was with Michael Jordan, if all of a sudden you suspended him because he was gambling or there was gambling involved with the NBA, I think it absolutely could have ruined that sport. And so that's mm-hmm. why you did it the way that you did. I don't necessarily have a problem with that per se, because they were trying to do what was best for the greatest good of the NBA. Imagine if the NBA got messed up in that scandal and that went away, not just players, but how many people's jobs and front offices and things like that. So I think that was a move to kind of save face and probably save the league at that point in time, if that was what was going on, which everybody seems to believe was going on with Michael Jordan at the time. So that's a save the face league at that point in time.
Can I add one thing on the basketball court to your take, Dusty? Because I don't hate the take. I like it. I think one thing basketball-wise is there was no double teaming. There was no zones in the NBA. You could not double team anybody. You could not run a zone. So when you watch Michael Jordan, yeah, he's going against one guy the whole time. Imagine LeBron James going against one guy the whole time. He would have scored 45 points a game.
Mm-hmm. Imagine Wimby being single covered.
Exactly. You wouldn't be able to do it, right? You wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah. It'd be impossible for guys that good. So, yeah, that's another thing where I'm like, from a basketball perspective, damn, the game's just so much different.
It is, yeah.
Speaking of basketball, I love Carrington's hill that he dies on, that Wilt Chamberlain never scored 100 points.
Yeah, that is a fun one. Yeah.
We don't have evidence of that.
Yeah. One of the more overrated athletes ever, Wilt Chamberlain.
A lot of hills there. Coming up next, we get back into the World Soccer Championship conversation and rule changes, plus Team USA plays tonight against Paraguay. We'll get into it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it on 96.5 The Fan. It's a beautiful Friday. 69 degrees outside. Hell of a night for a ball game. Can't wait.
Smash.
What's better, the sound of baseball or the smells of baseball?
Sound.
The crack of the bat, pop of the glove.
I can get a lot of the smells of baseball at other places. The sound's not replicable.
Yeah.
That's the dirt, true. The bat. Yeah, the ball hitting the glove on a fast pitch or something. Yeah, dude.
I do love the sound of a ball and the crack of the bat. Just something about it.
It's amazing.
Jack Caglione in his last six games, 12 of 19, 4 extra base hits, 5 RBI, OPS of 1.734.
I know that I'm hard.
Nice shirt, Mac. I love it that you're wearing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's appropriate. Didn't get the win, but
No.
Still.
Yeah.
Cags performing well. And that's what we can hang our hats on this year.
And not only that, you know, it was hitting seventh, and a lot of people were like, put him fourth. And then he moves up, two hits again. Mm-hmm. So it seems that he's jumped that in his young career and gotten much better. Seeing the ball, hitting the ball, as Bob would say, see ball, hit ball. He is seeing ball, hit ball. It looks like it's a beach ball right now getting thrown to Jack Caglione. The men's U.S. soccer team plays tonight. You could take a flyer, say maybe they win the World Cup. You know, you never know. Or you could take a mathematician's credit for it who's been right three times in a row.
I think I seem to have a death wish. After getting it right three times in a row, I picked a team that is considered to be not amongst the favorites this time around. Netherlands is one of those countries that persistently performs above the batting average that it should have based on the foundations of the country.
You have been famous now for your forecasts about the world of football, the world of soccer for our American viewers. Tell me about it.
Yes. So what I do is I use an economic model that uses economic variables to try to predict which teams are likely to win. And that model simply rests on four factors. First of all, population. If you have more people in your country, you have a bigger talent pool to tap into. The second one is climate. You need to be able to play soccer year-round. If it's too hot, too cold, you can't play it, and that gives you a natural disadvantage. The third one is being wealthy enough to have the infrastructure to develop talent. It's not just enough to have a big talent pool. You also have to have the schools, the training grounds, etc., to develop them into world-class players. And then the fourth one is the current FIFA world ranking, just to get an idea which teams have a particularly good generation of players right now.
So,
really interesting.
Yeah. It's nothing based on what you do on the field other than that last one that he said with the world ranking.
Yep.
I just still am very interested to see how these soccer players from other countries are going to handle the humidity. Not only here, but they're also playing in Mexico and Canada. I don't think there's obviously humidity up there, but like the high altitude and you know, in Mexico, like there, that's tough. And then you know what Ichiro said about Kansas City in August, right?
Like, good thing they'll be here in July.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, six in one hand, half a dozen in the other, right? July or August. Well, shoot, here we are. But I do get kind of juiced up when it comes to this part of the World Soccer Championship, because now it's here, now they're playing, now you get to get locked in, now you can kind of check out with everything, with, you know, now you get to follow it, now you get to see if they can win their first game against Paraguay tonight, and you're going to want to check out because there are some new rules, and Rebecca Lowe breaks it down.
In this World Cup, we also have the implementation of some new rules, several of which are aimed at reducing time wasting. Teams will only have 5 seconds to take throw-ins and goal kicks.
Love it.
A substituted player must leave the pitch within 10 seconds. VAR is now able to check corners and second bookings, and each half will feature a cooling break.
A cooling break.
Well, we have that new soccer too. Yeah, you gotta have that.
You can't have people passing out, dude.
I have to.
No, my comment one was we didn't have that.
No, no, we didn't. Yeah. No, it's never been that way. Yeah. No, I
even
think
when it's a guitar in the desert.
Really? We're not cooling off.
Yeah. I don't know if they did. I don't think they did have that in the past. But I mean, extreme heats in the United States with the humidity. I mean, you have to have that because there's no substitutions in the sport. There's no defensive. You know, you're on defense, so you're off the field when the team's on offense. There's none of that. There's no substitutions. Literally, you're out in the field the entire time, and once you come out, you're out. And so they've got to have these water breaks.
I do love the 5 second throw in rule and on goal kicks, and I love the 10 seconds of submission. Like, get off the field.
Yeah, but like it doesn't really make any sense to me. The lady said we're trying to speed up the game, so you're changing things. Like, it's a running clock. Whether you take 5 seconds or 10 seconds to throw in the ball, that clock's still going. It's still running. It's not stopping, and we're not slowing down the game.
That's adding to extra time at the end of the game.
I don't think that that does. I think that only comes from injury time when you're down on the field.
I don't know. I mean, that's always the way I understood it, was that it did add to extra time.
It but did add, like, throw-ins add extra time.
Yeah, and that's why people stand there.
Oh, my God. So why do you want the extra time at the end? Just get rid of it. Sometimes I thought they were just standing there to take a break. I didn't really know that added the extra time on at the end. Well, okay, if that adds the extra time on the end, then yeah. I'm an idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about. And it's better that way. But it sure seems like
idiot, you don't know what you're talking
about.
They're
working on things to speed up the game, and then they're adding this 3-minute break, which mm-hmm. is going to 6 minutes because it's three in each half, negates everything that they're doing right there. Because usually you look at extra time, it's about 6-7 minutes every time.
Yeah, I do like players, or I like the you got to cover your mouth, or you can't cover your mouth anymore when you or if you leave the field in protest. I love that we're punishing the tantrums in soccer.
Good.
I do like that.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Are we punishing the flopping though? Like, because that's really where they should be punishing. If it looks like you flop, go to the VAR, look at that. If you flop, red card.
If you're treated for an injury, you must stay out for a minute. So now if you fake that injury, all right,
is that
out.
A new rule that they put in?
That's a new rule.
Okay,
that is a new rule. Good. I like that rule.
I like that rule too.
I think
that's
their. Trying, that's their attempt
right.
to deal with that.
Yeah, because that's the one thing like non-soccer fans always complain about. You know, you got the low-hanging fruit in every sport. Yeah, and for soccer, it's you know, this guy is faking it. He's flopping. It's a fake injury. Nobody believes any injury is real in soccer. They run out with that like gurney from the 1940s and throw that guy on that thing and bring him back in. Like people, and then they spray paint something on the ground and then it disappears. Like people look at that and they go, okay, I'm not buying this. So you got to speed up the flopping as well. I think that's really what adds.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
To the delay of these games. And now we've already had a snafu with Fox because... You know, we're an American network, and so we're going to televise games like we do in America. They took that water break. Fox cut away, didn't come back until after the action started. They were in commercial break. So soccer fans are ticked about that as well now. But you know what? They got to pay the bills. FIFA is charging all this money. I don't blame Fox. So you missed the pass. Big deal.
Huge deal.
Coming up next, we'll get into Jamie Watson, to talk all things World Soccer Championship, and we'll get dive down into the United States game against Paraguay tonight here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Watson! Yes!
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears, and I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.